Today's share in the Deir Shur Mishnah Berurah Yomi program is Daf Mem Aleph Omud Aleph. And we are in the third volume of Mishnah Berurah, which we began yesterday, Simen Resh Samach Vav. And we continue in the middle of Sif Beis. Yesterday, Sif Beis started, the Mechaber was telling us the preferred mechanism for a person who is stranded Erev Shabbos and has Muktzah stuff on him, he has his wallet or other things on him, what he should do. So he had spoken out a listing of what is preferable to do in that situation. And the Mechaber had left off with, if it no other choice, and you have to put the wallet, let's say, on an animal, so you should make sure that when you're leading this animal that you're not over the Issa D'Oraisa of Mechamer by making sure that you put the wallet on the animal after it's already started moving, and you take the wallet off the animal either before the animal stops or right after the animal stops. That's where we had left off yesterday. Now we're on the top line, Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, and he brings down a V'yesh Omrim. This is from the Rambam. And the V'yesh Omrim says, "Shetzarich lizar milan higa bekol rom kozman shakir soleh." One should be careful not to go and lead the animal with a loud voice while the wallet is on the animal, because that's going to be essentially over the iser of mechamer of leading the animal while it's carrying something for you. The Ramah says, "Haga v'hu lo yirkav alachamor eliyelich braglav." The person himself shouldn't ride on the animal. He should walk next to the animal while the animal is carrying his wallet or other packages. V'mutzarech lotzei schutz l'tchum, and if the person has to leave the tchum because it's dangerous, mitmeishem yisyare min halistim oshar sarkana, because there are armed robbers over there or some other disaster, it's a dangerous area for him to be in, so then he's allowed to leave the tchum. V'afilu hutoch tchum, and by the way, even if the person is within the tchum, nevertheless, he can go and ride on the animal if it's a dangerous situation. So what the Ramah is telling us over here is that you'd be allowed to ride on the animal if you have to travel a long distance outside the Trum, and even within the Trum, you'd be allowed to ride on the animal if it's dangerous for you to stay there. Walking won't be good enough. You better get on the animal and move if it is dangerous. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Sivkot Yud. Pirish, he's explaining it more or less like what I just said. I got it from the Mishnah Berurah. The Yoz ein iser kishielich biraglov eladafka imrochev. That if there is no rush, so then you shouldn't ride on the animal, and you should walk next to the animal, and then there is no iser over here of you riding on the animal. But if there is danger, then you are allowed to ride on the animal. And certainly if you're outside the Trum and you're going to have to travel a long distance and you can't walk this, and here you're going to perform an Isser anyway when you're walking beyond the Trum. You're not allowed to go beyond the Trum. So because then in that situation you'd be allowed to go and ride on the animal. And he brings down even the suggestion from the Beis Yosef, which albeit the Beis Yosef rejects, Beis Yosef, the Yesh Svara, there is actually a thought process over here, the Tov Lirkov Shom Milel Braglov. It actually would be better to ride on the animal than to walk with your feet itself. Achu Docha Osam Shom, Ayin Shom, even though the Beis Yosef himself rejects this. This suggestion over here is brought down in Dish Foot number 12. The reasoning behind it is Shein HaRechiva Asura Mishum Shebehemto Noses Oso the Eino Shoveses. Because technically, you're riding on the animal, and the animal's moving by itself. And we do have this principle that achai noseis atzmo, that there is no technical issa d'oraisa of carrying a live animal that can go on its own, because technically the animal could go on its own, so it's not called carrying it if you carry it. He does reject that, however, but at least there is this svara or suggestion to suggest that riding on the animal might be better than walking when you're outside the tron. Nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah continues, and he says, "Va'afilu l'fi svarahi," even according to this svara over here, "dafka li'in yurchiva," that's only when you're talking about riding it. "Avo kisha behema moshechas bekorim," but if the animal is also pulling a wagon, "afilu ma'koron gavo asari," even if you're above 10 tfachim, asari tfachim over here means that you're technically above the area where there is a din of tchum, "l'kuliyama tov yosef shielich biraglov mishiyesh bekorim," nevertheless, even over here, it would be better to walk than to ride in the wagon. Why? "Ki ayidei ha'yeshiva over al iser shimush bebalichayim." Because while you're sitting in the wagon, you're over two things, using the animal to do work for you, and also there is still a problem of tchum. Why is there a problem of tchum? So Deir Shur Foot number 30 brings down, even though it's more than 10 tvachim high, there nevertheless is over here an issur of tchumim if you're in an area that's dalet tvachim al dalet tvachim, shetashmisho noach, that it's an easy thing for the person to be in this 4x4 area, the wagon, and therefore there is an issur tchumim over here even if you're above 10 tvachim. In any event, in this situation, as we just said, it's preferable for the person to walk alongside the animal rather than ride on the animal. As opposed to, Masha Ein Kein, Im Yelech Baraglov, Lo Yavor Rak Al Tumim. If you're walking, then you're only over the Tumim, you're not over the Isser of using the animal. Tisha for number 14 brings down, even though the animal is going outside the Tchum, Ein HaBalim Over Bezeh Al Shvisas Behemto. Your animal going outside the Tchum doesn't create an Isser for you of Shvisas Behemto. And the reasoning behind this is brought down by Rosh Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, Sheyetzia Michutz L'Tchum Ein Melacha, because that's not really a Melacha. Vein Isura El Isser Gavra. The Isser of Tchum is on the person, and even though an inanimate object or your property is restricted to your tchum, nevertheless, if it goes out on its own, so to say, beyond the tchum, you're not held accountable. The Mishnah continues and he says, Ulevad kolela, aside from everything that we said, Matsui ayide hayeshiva bekorin lava liyus mechamer. He says, another reason not to sit in the wagon is because it's very likely and easy that when you sit in the wagon, you could come to lead the animal much more easily and be over the yisuv mechamer. And that's why, ubimokum sakona kol shari, in a place or a situation where it's dangerous to stay where you are, anything goes, because Pikuach Nefashos is Docha Isuri Shabbos. And he brings down from the Prima Godim, because of Prima Godim, Yesh Lizor Kishol Medes B'Shabbos B'Shus HaRabim. There should also be concern over here on Shabbos when you're in the Shus HaRabim, and there is an Agola Reikonis Susim, and nearby you is a wagon with horses, even if it's not your own, as we'll see. Shalolak Bia Kovia Kimachamer Afilu Behema Sacherim. You shouldn't raise your voice and cause the animal to pull the wagon as a result, even if the animal's not yours and the wagon is not yours. Nevertheless, you shouldn't do this. Ukamosha Kosov Lamala, as we've already explained. The kosher cane, and he says, in addition, the same thing applies, agolos nemuchim bimei achorev, the same thing would apply with these low wagons during the winter time, shekorin shalitin, which are sleds, sleigh, the ein govan asor, that aren't above 10 tefachim, and there certainly is a huge problem over here with your leading it, with your voice or calling it, and as well, there is the problem of the issue tchumim. So one should be very careful with this. The issue foot number 15 brings down the likrolu behema lovu achra v'hioleches miritzona. If you just call to the animal and the animal comes on its own, you're not forcing it to come. So then the egle tal brings down that that's not an isser, because lo ne'amar isser mechamer. The only time there is an isser of mechamer is shabehema holeches bal korcha, if the animal is going against its will, so to say, because you're calling it or doing something to it, mipnei emas ba'alel, because you are scaring it, so to say. You're forcing it to do something it doesn't want to do. But if it wants to do this, so then, if it's going on its own, that's not an isser of mechamer. Again, these halachos are less applicable nowadays, that we don't use so many animals in our daily life and with travel, but they certainly were extremely important in the times when animals were the main vehicle by which people got around. Now we go to Sif Kimmel. The Mechaber writes, Hayu imo chamor v'cheirish v'shotu v'kotan. Now again, talking about priorities, which is the least objectionable thing to do when you're out on Erev Shabbos and you have a muktzah item, a wallet there, what should you do? Again, I stress and remind everybody that we learned previously that one should be very, very careful traveling on Erev Shabbos, not to put yourself into a situation. So here we're talking about, despite your carefulness and your zealousness not to get into such a situation, you find yourself in such a situation. So what should you do? So if you have a choice over here, you can put it on a donkey, or you can give it to a cheresh, a person who is incapable of both speaking and hearing, and by definition is a lav bar das, he doesn't have halachic mental capacity status, or he's a shota, is a person who's mentally incompetent for other reasons, or a katan, who by definition, under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah, doesn't have mental status capacity according to Halacha. In all of these situations, which is the best way to make sure your wallet is taken care of? Yanichenu al hachamor, preferable to put it on the donkey, v'lo yitnenu li'achad me'ilu, and don't give it to a person, a cheirishot or a katan, preferable that the donkey carry your wallet for you. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Sifkon Yad Aleph, Shehein b'nei Adam kimoso, because the cheirishot or katan are all people. V'osi lachlufe b'yodom acher hamuchuy b'mitzvah, because once you give it to a cheirishot or katan, next time you might chas v'shal make the mistake and say, well, I gave it to Yankel the cheirish, so I can also give it to Yitzchak the pikeach, the normal person. So if you make that type of an error, it could lead to a real problem, so therefore preferable to put it on the donkey. Siv Dal, the Mechaber writes, Hoye imo cheresh v'shote. Now you only have over here two choices. You have either a person who's a cheresh, a mute and deaf person who is, again, a halachic lav bar das, and a shota, an incompetent man who's also a lav bar das. So what should you do in this situation? You don't have the donkey, you don't have the katan, yitnenu l'shota. The preferable thing to do over here is to give it to the mentally incompetent person who's the shota rather than the chayresh. Why? Lefi she'ein lo das klal, because the totally mentally incompetent person has no das whatsoever in halacha, but the person who's a shota has what the Mishnah Berurah calls in Sif Katan Yud Beis avo chayresh daito kli. He has some das, albeit a minimal das or relatively minimal das. Now, this leads to a very, very interesting discussion that's brought down in Dershu Foot number 16, is how do we classify a person nowadays who is a deaf-mute, but from all obvious extent and purposes, is clearly mentally competent. For example, he says, Ad cheirishu chochum v'novon, a person who may be a deaf-mute, but he's clearly a wise person. He has an understanding about him. So Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, the Igros Moshe, still says, nevertheless, it's a gzeres hakosuv lachshivo kemish ein bodas. He doesn't have halachic das and wouldn't be able to serve in a capacity that requires a person who has halachic das, even though this person physically has das. And similarly, Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal brings down in the Minchas Shlomo, shahol ve'eno shomea ve'eno medaber, since by definition he doesn't speak and he doesn't hear, efshar, it is physically impossible lachshivo kiachroy al masav, to hold him accountable, even though on the surface, he does seem to have a very good understanding of what's going on. And he adds, even though this person can use sign language or he can write down, and he clearly demonstrates that he's a bardas, by definition, that's not called dibur when he does sign language or writing. And halachically speaking, not talking about him as a mensch, as a value and how you should treat him, but from a pure halachic point of view, he is not considered a bardas. Then he points out as well, or Shlomo Zalman, that is, and he says that if the person may be deaf, but he is able to speak, albeit it's not as clear as a person who has hearing, but he is able to be understood by most people, so then Rav Moshe Feinstein brings down, as well as Rav Shlomo Zalman, that he is a bar das in that situation. So a person who is deaf and has maybe a funny type of a voice, because he doesn't hear what he's saying, so it sounds a little bit different to what most people say, chas v'shalom, I don't mean in a pejorative way, but this person is halachically a bar das and can function anything in halacha that requires a bar das. This is a very interesting discussion, but we don't have the time to spend on this anymore right now. Now we go to Sif Hey. The Mechaber writes, Shote, the Kotan. Your only choice over here is to give your wallet, let's say, to a Shote, this mentally incompetent person, or a Kotan, a child under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah. So preferable Yitnenu l'Shote, better to give it to the mentally incompetent person. Why? Shak Kotan Yovo L'Chlal Das, because the child, the Mitzvah Shem, will grow up to be a bar das. So you don't want to train him and inculcate in him the fact that he can do this type of a thing, as opposed to the nebuch, the person who's a shota, he's not going to change, and therefore preferable in this situation to give it to the shota and not the katan. If your only choice is a cheirish for katan, the deaf mute halachli doesn't have das, or a child, so then yitnenu l'mishi yirtze. Then it's a fielder's choice. The Mechaber says you can give it to whichever one you would prefer to give it to. And the Mishnah Berurah explains in Sif Katan Yud Gimel the kol echad yesh lo maila b'fnei atzmo v'chanal, because each of them has a maila. The cheirish is the das klishta; he does have das, albeit not a full das. And the katan will eventually have das, even if he doesn't have das right now. So it doesn't make a difference which one you give it to. The Chavetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha Dibra Maskel, Yitnenu L'Misha Yirtze, brings out for the Prima Godim an additional situation. Yeroa Li, Dahainu Davka Sheino Beno, that you should give it over here to one versus the other is assuming that neither one is your son. Avo Beno Katan, if it's your son over here, that's the person that you have an obligation, at least me the Rabbanan, to go and train and teach him, then it would be preferable for you to give it L'Cheirish Oshota, who is not your son. And he says, Mistapik Shom, he's also unclear, in Efshar, Afilu Mecherish Shotu Beno, if the Cherish and the Shota are his son, She'eno Barchinok Kamo Kotan, that they still would be less problematic to give it to them than to your son, who is a Kotan, because the son who is a Kotan, you have a real Chiv of Chinuch, as opposed to the Shota and the Cherish, which you do not. The issue foot number 19 brings down what happens if a person has two sons over there, one who's reached the age of chinuch, let's say a 9-year-old, and the other is a katan yoser, he's a 3-year-old, adayin lo egil l'chinuch, and there is no obligation for you to teach him. So he brings down over here, from the Shevet HaLevi's Atzal Rav Ozner, sheyomer leben ha-katan, you're preferable to give it to the younger child over here, shelo egil l'chinuch lasosa, to let the younger child, he brings this down from a case of a chol sheyesh bo sakana, preferable to let the younger child do this than the older child, who is a bar chiyuv for chinuch. The issue for number 20 brings down, likewise, likewise, if you have a cheresh and a shota that want to bench over here and to fulfill the obligation for a person who's also only mechuyev midrabbanan, the cheresh and the shota are mechuyev midrabbanan only over here, and you want to fulfill a person who is a pikeach but hasn't eaten kedei sviya, so it's only yechiyev derabbanan, so the pri magadah brings down avo pisha katan yochalotzio, even though in this situation the katan could go and do this, the cheresh and the shota should not go and be motziim mipnei she'enam b'nei chinuch, because they don't have a mitzvah chinuch. The katan at least has a mitzvah chinuch, and there is this aspect of derabbanan over here that could be motziim the pikeach who hasn't eaten kedei sviya for the mitzvah derabbanan for him to bench. Sivvav. The Mechaber writes, Yesh Omrim, there is an opinion that's brought down in the name of the Magid Mishnah, in the name of the Rashba, and the Ramban, and other Mepharshim, and he says, when you're giving over your wallet to one of these people, the Cheresho to the Katan, it would be preferable to do like you did with the donkey that we brought down at the end of yesterday's shir, Minichu Olav Kishu Mahalach, you should put him, give him the wallet, put it on him when he's already walking. The notami man would take it off from him, kishu omed, when either he has stopped or is about to stop, for the same reasons that we brought down yesterday, so there shouldn't be an akira and a hanocha done by the shcheirishot and katan, and they're only, therefore, being over in Isser derabbanan and not in Isser deraisa. Mishmur explains in Sif Katan Yudalid, as we explained, the chanal bebehema besif beis, and the reasoning is, vatam, kidei shelo yasu achereshot v'katan, Isser deraisa yadoza. I just mentioned this would be an Isser deraisa if they did the akira and the hanocha, and now they're only doing part of it, so it's only an Isidore Bon. And he says, even though technically you're not obligated in their shvisa, in having them not do malacha, like you are obligated with their rice and not to have your behema do malacha, nevertheless, you still shouldn't be going and giving them something that's usher with your own hands. So if you're putting the wallet in their hands and then they walk, you're held somewhat accountable, as we'll learn in Simon Shin Mem Gimel in Yon Katan. And the same thing applies to Cheresh Shota, as we will explain over there. Commotion is Bar Shom. Now, the Ramah says over here, Hagah, V'davka kishinosi lehem mishechoshecha. This is true that you should give it to them only after they've started walking, and take it off of them when they either are about to stop walking or just stopped walking. That's only if it's on already Shabbos. It's already Friday night after dark. Avo kishinosi lehem mibojom. But if you're giving it to them on Friday afternoon, mutar b'cholinyan, then you don't have to be concerned that you should give it to them while they've already started walking, but you can give it to them while they're standing still. There's no concern over here with the Akira, because the Akira will be done before Shabbos starts. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Sifkan Tesvav, Doz eno nikra zeh mayachol b'yadayim. Then you're not actually feeding them, so to say, with your hands, making them do the issa with your hands, because right now on Friday afternoon, even the ato adayin less Beisur, there is no Issa right now, and they may still be standing still until after dark, and then only they're going to do the Akira after dark. They're doing that on their own, and you didn't cause them to do that. And you don't have to prevent them from doing this. You're not obligated to stop them from doing an Issa. Okay, therefore, ain't tzarech litol a kiss me'il of kishomed. Therefore, you don't have to go and on Friday night take the kiss out of their hand when they're standing still and wait till they move. However, avo b'behema, with regards to the animal, shehu mitzuva shvisas behemto, where you are obligated. So even if the package or the wallet was on top of the animal from Erev Shabbos, b'gam shu mechamer achare. And also, there's a problem over here of being mechamer if you go and call the animal to come with you. Okay, av shiniach alav avoyom. Even though you put it on the animal on Friday afternoon, you should take it off before the animal moves on Friday night. Chayv litol him. The animal stopped and is now standing still on Friday night after Shabbos has started, and it's going to move again, and you're going to ask it to move by calling it and be mechamer, then you should go and take the thing off its back. For example, if the animal is moving, then you should go and take the item off the animal before it moves. So if it's going lahashtin mayim chiyosid, it's going to urinate or something like that, you should go take it off the animal before it moves, so the animal is not doing the akira and anocha with your wallet for you on Shabbos, and this way, you'd be over in Issa Daraisa. However, the Morgan of Rome is even stricter, and he says you shouldn't even do this on Friday afternoon. However, in an area known as a Carmelist, which we don't have time to really explain right now what that is, but it's basically an area which mid Daraisa is not a Rishus Arabim, but it looks like a Rishus Arabim, so the rabbis made a special creation called the Carmelist that is going to be treated in some ways like a Rishus HaRabim. So there you can be Mako because there is no potential for an Issa D'Raisa of carrying. Siv Zayin. The Mechaber writes, in Ein Imoshum Echod Mikol Elu, if you don't have anybody here, no donkey, no cheresh, shota, kotin, so what should you do? Yitaltelenu pochus pochus mi'aba amos. You can go and carry the wallet less than dalet amos, and this way you will not be over in Issa Doraisa. Now, there are a number of Mishnah Berurahs over here that we will, Mitzvah Hashem, go to tomorrow, but that will for now conclude today's shir.